Welcome back to Juno Afternoon on the snowiest of days. But, you know, we'll probably find a few ravens out there, a few tricksters squawking away. Weather doesn't ever deter them. Well, we're going to be talking with a man who started the trickster company, Rico Worrell. And it features modern Tlingit-themed art. But Rico now has a forever stamp out, a U.S. Postal Service stamp that will be coming out featuring Raven stealing the stars and the moon. So I have to ask you, Rico, and thank you for joining us today. Did you choose this particular story to illustrate? Was that your idea?
Yeah, that was my idea. I knew that the stamp was a national platform, and so I kind of wanted to give a very easy, accessible, broad sort of way of entry for people to start learning about Tlingit culture. And I think that story is sort of a foundational one. A lot of people know it here, and I think Raven stories overall are a great place to start.
You know, I had an aha moment at Celebration a few years back when there was a community that was performing the Raven stars and moon and sun story. And of course, you know, the thing that dawned on me is, well, Raven was doing that for humanity. I mean, it wasn't the old man's right to keep all of that from us and just keep the stars and the moon to himself. And the thing is that often when we have something that we should have, are entitled to, unfortunately, to get what we're entitled to, we have to be tricky. And I thought, well, now that is an interesting lesson in humanity. But, you know, that story is a powerful story. Why is it so important to you?
I think that, I think Raven stories in general are really powerful because of the nature of that they can kind of transform based on the storyteller. And so anybody can kind of, you know, they can kind of assess what the situation is, who they're telling it to, and be able to emphasize different points of the story. So, like, you know, I think that's absolutely one, you know, way to tell a story is like, oh, maybe it's about how to share our wealth with the world. Another friend of mine mentioned that one thing that he wished was more emphasized in that story when it was told was it's about the clan relations. And so the grandfather to Raven being of the opposite moiety, it's for him always about the balance that he's kind of maintaining. And others may interpret it as just basically a grandfather's undying love for their grandchildren. So I think there's, you know, Trickster Raven can transform, and I think Trickster Raven stories can transform as well. And
others may interpret it as just basically a grandfather's undying love for their grandchildren. So I think there's.
Oops. Rico, are you still there, or did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, with Zoom, you know, we have little gremlins that sometimes get in the way. But, you know, picking up on what you said about the grandfather's love, I think the Raven had to be a trickster, but it was through the grandfather's love for his grandson that he worked in the story. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a beautiful part of the story.
Yeah, I think there's the other reason is there's a lot of ways that people can relate to the story, and I wanted people to feel like there's something relatable in it. And that's part of how I chose that specific design too. There was sort of a process with the USPS art director, but I'm glad we kind of settled there. I think that specific design with Raven kind of with stars all around him and his feathers and his beak and his like his hand and claws. I think there's just a exciting moment of drama that an excitement that is with storytelling that I think anybody can get excited about.
Well, it's always great when a drawing tells a story, but how did this project come to you? Did you go after it yourself, hear about it somehow?
No, I actually never expected it to come my way. I never even thought about it, but one day I got a call from a art director with USPS, Antonio Alcala, and so the way I understand it is that the USPS has a stamp kind of selection committee, and they kind of guide the direction that USPS is going to go every year. And so Antonio ended up running into my products at my Trickster Company products at the National Museum of American Indian. And when he saw it, I guess it struck him and he wanted to reach out to us.
Boy, you know, there is no accident really in the way things turn out, I believe. You know, life has its own sort of random walk there. So now that you've done this, what's next for you?
I'm not entirely sure. So I've got a few things kind of going. I am helping my sister out with a few public art pieces, some bigger ones that she's got. Trickster Company is always on the plate. It's always, you know, I think one thing that we've always tried to do is make sure that we always have kind of fresh things coming through the shop. And so that's always pressing. I have a Patreon that I run, which is sort of like a way that people can subscribe to artists and kind of support artists. So I do these tiny sticker series through that every month. And I guess if there's any new direction, I am exploring kind of like how do I spent a lot of time studying 2D form line, and I think I have a lot to, you know, there's always more to learn there, but I would like to start trying to learn sculptural form line.
Now, you and Michaela Goad are so young. She's 30, and may I ask how old you are, Rico?
36.
36, but to have accomplished all this at your age, you just have to wonder, was it something in the environment, you know, in the Tlingit culture or in this community? And I know you said that you grew up in South Central, but what helped plant all these seeds to get to this point now?
I'm not entirely sure. I think there's just a culmination of a lot of different things from, I think for anybody that's native, creativity is just ingrained in our lifestyle. It's on our regalia, but it's also on like everyday things like bowls and spoons. And so as far as the creativity, I feel like that's always been there. I think, and then in Southeast and Juneau, I think the Walter Sobloff Center opening up was a huge catalyst for opportunity for Native artists, and as well as you and Michaela kind of touched on it too, is the concept of authentic stories becoming more mainstream, like more desired by mainstream. So there's just so many things that kind of came together at this point in time, I think.
Well, one national magazine described Juneau as an epicenter for Indigenous art. And of course, they were talking about the Sea Alaska Heritage Arts Campus that's scheduled to open sometime this year. Do you think that all of these things, like Michaela getting her award, the Google Doodle, you getting the postage stamp, does it point to that being a real possibility?
Definitely. I think we're on some kind of trend or something, you know, in the community. And it's definitely inspiring to have all these other creatives around us that are also just doing these really having these great successes.
Well, we thank you very much, Rico, on this very snowy day for coming inside and chatting with us about your success story, because it is indeed a lot to celebrate with both you and Michaela. Congratulations.
Thank you.